They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank. Focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. Information at BNYMellonWealthManagement.com.
Private equity has a pulse.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. I believe we pronounced the private equity boom dead a few weeks ago, but there are some signs of life this morning. Citigroup and JP Morgan Chase are looking for buyers for $32 billion in loans. That money was used to purchase the Texas utility giant TXU back in February. It was a huge private equity deal. If the banks can get people to buy this debt, it might signal a return of cash to the market. Here's Elisa Roth.
TXU might be the biggest leveraged buyout ever, and it's certainly the biggest deal to come to market this year. Banks have been worried investors wouldn't buy debt after the subprime mortgage mess this summer. Chris Donnelly is with Standard & Poor's LCD. He says the banks were relieved when investors bought up more than $9 billion of debt from First Data Corp earlier this fall.
After a summer of discontent, banks are seeing at this point that the financing markets have picked up somewhat.
Donnelly says even so, TXU's banks probably won't be able to sell all the debt in one go. But he says the fact the deal's going ahead is a good sign.
It means that investors are open for business for quality deals. It bodes particularly well for other large leverage buyouts that are still coming to the market later this year.
Donnelly says those buyouts could include wireless company Altel and media giant Clear Channel. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Despite a summer of fretting, fall has been pretty good to Wall Street. The Dow begins this week at 14,066. It gained 1% last week. The S&P 500 opens at a new record high this morning, 1557. The NASDAQ is at 2780. It put on almost 3% last week. Japan's Nikkei was closed for a holiday today. It's National Health and Sports Day. Why can't we have one of those? DVD sales have been kind of sluggish lately. Hollywood and the music industry aren't panicking just yet, but there's some concern. Steve Tripoli looked into it.
Peter Kafka at the Silicon Alley Insider website says industry folks have been anticipating a DVD sales drop.
The problem for Hollywood is they were expecting by this time that they would have a new format that would spur new DVD sales.
That didn't happen in part because a war of competing DVD formats has consumers confused. But Tom Adams at Adams Media Research says DVD sales still aren't tanking.
It's not that the business is declining. It's that the growth rates have gone away, and it's now a flat business.
That's got analysts like Kafka saying the industry's facing a fight to hold on to precious retail shelf space. But Adams doesn't see a squeeze. He says the industry's midweek release of new DVDs has become an important part of entertainment retailing.
It drives traffic and creates really their third weekend day, something they never had before.
So the industry's worried about online delivery and other challenges, but there's still time to prepare for a post-DVD world. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
What could be more appropriate for our cynical world than fortune cookies with a dose of realism? The country's biggest fortune cookie maker, Wonton Foods, is distributing a new line of cookies. They contain messages like, "Today's a disastrous day. If you can't beat them, join them." A few people have complained, but Wonton says it's just trying to keep up with the times. My favorite message, "It's over your head now. Time to get some professional help."
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years, with a commitment to provide objective financial advice. By The Economist magazine, which tells not only what's happening around the world each week, but why. The Economist, at newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. and by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com.
One of the greats of business journalism died last week. Jim Michaels was 86. You've probably never heard of him. He was behind the scenes. But you might recognize what Michaels did for business news.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan had the fortune of working with Jim Michaels. Alan, who was this guy?
Michaels was this amazing guy. He was the editor of Forbes for 37 years. For years on end, edited the entire magazine himself. And unlike many people in the business writing business, he was into short stories, vicious stories, pointed stories, funny stories. And the pressure from the stories he produced changed business journalism, I think, mostly for the better.
In what way?
If you go back and look at business magazines of the 60s and make sure to take some stimulants when you do it, you'll see that they were very staid, they were very worshipful, very into lionizing people and talking about great companies. And what Michaels did was he brought a sense of outrage, a sense of a lot of these people are cheating the customers, the customers being, in this case, the shareholders. It's an entirely different kind of story than used to be there. And during the heyday of Forbes, editorially in the 70s and 80s and early 90s, the pressure from Forbes really forced other publications, including my current employer, Fortune, to change.
And how did Michaels impact your career personally?
I still have a chip on my shoulder, but I used to be a reporter at the Detroit Free Press with a chip on my shoulder. And nobody in New York of the major publications would even talk to me. And through a strange series of events, I was introduced to Michaels, who I think within about 5 minutes decided to hire me and just made me an offer. He's the person who got me into national financial journalism by giving me this job at Forbes and doing what he did to all of us, throwing us out to sink or swim. And I was lucky enough to swim.
Yeah, well, I thought it was interesting that Michaels told you he could cut 15% out of any story, no matter how tightly written it was. And in his memory, your Fortune column is 15% shorter.
Right. Well, I always did want to get the last word with Jim, and I guess I've now managed to do it, though not quite the way I had intended.
All right. Alan Sloan from Fortune magazine, thank you.
My pleasure, Scott.
If you'd like to share your thoughts with us and with other listeners, log on to our website. It's marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.